AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Today could have been a very bad day for Dodger fans, but instead it's a very good day. It's a very we're ending the weekend on a high note because the Dodgers were able to salvage the series against the San Diego Padres, avoid the sweep thanks to the heroics of Dalton Rushing and Freddie Freeman, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, among others. We are back. It is Deferred Collusion. We're doing a brief episode, just a series recap. Reaction episode.
Tongue twister.
It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bollinger, Lord Paramount of Los Angeles, California. Brando, how are you feeling on this Sunday evening, my good friend?
Jesse, I'm feeling as good as going 1-3 in a series can feel.
1-2. 1-2.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. 1-2. 1-2.
2-2 against Colorado, though. Yeah.
We're a professional outfit over here. Mm-hmm. Deferred Collusion, that's what you get. Your blue collar boys. Still in first somehow. Holding on by a thread, but damn, Jess, for 2 days, Alex Call was the only offense I saw from a billion-dollar franchise, and I was ready just to lose my damn mind. Some good pitching still. Glasnow had that one bummer of a inning. Walks came back to hurt him in game two. We'll talk about that. But, hey, man, for all the rivalry talk, it seemed like a pretty just old-fashioned, good pitching baseball series this weekend. Jess, how do you feel?
Yeah, I thought it was actually a pretty good series. I know it's a little frustrating for Dodger fans, obviously. It did not start the way we wanted it to. Dodgers losing the first two. And like you mentioned, I think you said Alex Call, but I believe you meant Alex Freeland was the only.
Sorry, Dodger, Alex Freeland. Yeah, yes.
The only Dodgers offense for the first two games hitting two solo home runs. And that just sort of says a lot. A guy hitting his first two major league home runs being your only offense against your, you know, current bitter rivals, if you want to call it that. But, you know, plenty of good takeaways from this series. Obviously, the Padres looked pretty good. They looked ready to play the series. They got good outings out of Yu Darvish and Nestor Cortez, of all people, which was so funny because, you know, going into that game, I think we all just sort of thought that the ghosts of October would be creeping into Nestor Cortez's mind, thinking about that walk-off grand slam he gave to Freddie Freeman in the World Series last year. And you know, the hilarious thing is, in the first inning, Freddie Freeman comes up and hits a ball to center field that I think on any other given day probably would have been a home run. I forget how many were on base, but the launch angle and the exit velocity suggest it should have been a home run. But
yeah, I think they showed the overlay of the pitch, and they from the home run and the World Series, the Grand Slam, that out. And they were eerily similar.
Same exact
Freddie
pitch.
Just missed right. It. I was disappointed. I know that when Nestor was pitching for the Brewers the first time he faced the Yankees, I know he gave up like 5 home runs. So in my heart, I was really hoping that the Dodgers were going to be able to haunt him in some similar fashion.
Yeah.
But you got to tip your cap. He went out and just dogged out. I think he only had like 3 Ks. It was very comparable to, like, I guess how frustrating a Kershaw start must be for opposing teams right now. Like, dude, we're hitting the guy. We're just hitting it right to people, not getting struck it out, but
yeah,
a lot of ground outs, a lot of pop outs.
No, and I think, you know, this, there's a common theme of this series, and I think it less so yesterday. A little bit yesterday, actually, but in this series, the Dodgers actually hit the ball pretty hard lot of the time, hit into a ton of outs, pretty rough to watch. I mean, early in this game, which we're going to talk about, there were like four or five balls that were just either could have been home runs or were hit as line outs. And it just seemed like this was just not the Dodgers series. But Nestor Cortez really did kind of like redeem himself. He pitched pretty well. All things considered, considering this was a series in August where the Dodgers have already won the season series against the Padres, it was a game that the Padres needed to win. I think that they really, really, really needed to win this series coming off of getting swept by the Dodgers and losing the season series. So I think they did their job, but I do think there's an element of them kind of being a little bit upset that they weren't able to get the sweep here, because we leave this series being tied for first place and Dodgers owning the tiebreaker for the rest of the season, because this is the last time that the Dodgers and Padres will play each other unless they meet in October, which seems like they probably will. The way
yeah, it feels like a little bit of an inevitability right now, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it does. So let's sort of talk about this game a little bit. Yamamoto was honestly, I thought was kind of perfect. He made one mistake to Elias Diaz. Is that who it is? Elias Diaz, the catcher.
And I think they're number nine hitter.
The one guy I was like, okay, not worried about. Gave up a two-run home run. And it just kind of felt like, oh, God, this is just not our series. If this guy's hitting a two-run home run off of Yama, it's not our series. But he pitched so well, six innings. Those were the only two runs he gave up. And, ends up getting eight runs of support today, but he left the game with a tie, with only two runs of support into the seventh inning. And, Dalton Rushing, I do got to say, has done a good job of pitch framing and catching and being a solid defensive catcher, but he has really struggled behind the plate since he kind of got off to a hot start. But he had the biggest hit of his career tonight.
Huge.
A three-run home run in the seventh inning, which gave the Dodgers the lead, ultimately the win. You could see the reaction on Yamamoto's face on the bench. He was so... I think he was feeling like multiple mixed emotions. Shocked that he actually had some run support. Like, I have five runs on the board. He didn't know what to think. But also, to know that his young catcher, the guy that's been, calling balls and strikes for him, got the big hit. I think that was kind of telling in his reaction, that he was pretty happy to see Rushing have that moment for himself.
Yeah, man. These guys are out here working hard, and it's not like anybody plans for Yamamoto to be one of the five lowest, runs scored for pitchers in the game right now. I think.
What is that? What are those numbers again?
Yeah, I think the other pitchers with the worst run support are on the Braves, Rockies, and Pirates, right? Paul Skeens, obviously. I forget the other guys, but they're bad teams. They're not teams with Freddie and Mookie and Shohei in the lineup. So you'd think Yama could get some damn run support. So it was nice to see Rushing just kind of relieve that tension that's just been there for, I don't know, it feels like he's had to have been perfect every start.
Yeah.
And it's almost reminiscent of some of those years where Kershaw was just ultra dominant, where it's like, all right, he's going to hold him to one run. All we got to do is score two. But it's like, even if they gave up one run, you're almost like, oh shit. Like they weren't supposed to score any. So it's like, we're on the back foot. And it's like, no, like, keep your head in there. Let's refocus. I know Mookie had some quote on his podcast. He had Will Smith on. And it said that in years past, they had won the division, a few weeks left in September or, late August. So it's almost like a blessing that the Padres are doing so well this year. And I saw Dodger Twitter light up a little bit and going like, hey, man, that's all well and good, but we just lost this series. And it's, keeping things in perspective, like we've said in the past, but, I kind of felt like it was a funny time for the comment, so I'm glad they went out and put up some runs today. But,
yeah.
I mean, Jess, we've talked about this a lot, this misfire offense. We were lamenting over the first two games, like, are you kidding me? We got no offense. We got a guy on third, in the eighth and ninth inning. I think that was in game one, and just can't get anything across. We can't get a sac fly. It's just crazy at times. you know, the frustration with Conforto coming in and striking out, and, you know, you got Bobby Kennedy, and it's like, you know,
Bobby,
you're
Bobby Kennedy,
not Bobby Kennedy,
but oh, that's so good, though. That's so good.
Dude, he got the ghost of JFK on third, yeah. Dude. But, we got the Kennedy family out there.
Buddy Kennedy. Great name, though. Baseball name. In terms of baseball names, Buddy Kennedy's
it's up
a
there.
Great name. Yeah, it's
you
up
know
there.
What's not a great baseball number, though, is when you see him coming up and it's like 0-81 for a batting average.
Yeah,
not good.
And I know you were sort of alluding to Michael Conforto, which I do want to talk about, but, you know, to your point, in this series, the Dodgers were hitting the ball hard, but they were also having bad at-bats at times when in
yes.
key spots. But, you know, hitting the ball hard and just kind of hitting it right at the defense. Obviously, in game one, Dalton Rushing comes up with a chance to tie the game in the eighth inning against Mason Miller, grounds into a double play to end the inning. On a play where Mason Miller is doing a PFP, he's covering first base on the double play ball and actually digs a ball out like he's Pete Alonso or something, just digging the ball out of the ground. You know, if he's not able to make that pick, the run scores, it's a tie game. Who knows how this series goes? I think that this series kind of had, even though we lost 5-1 in game two, it was close the whole way. I mean, these teams are very evenly matched in some regards. But I do think that the Dodgers left more meat on the bone.
100%. Definitely. And it's one of those things, Jesse, when your team is down, you kind of don't – the brakes fall in the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, when things are going good, everybody's getting that hot bat. You know, you're passing the torch around. But when things are bad, you know, when you've got a worse record than the Rockies in the second half of the season, breaks like that, you know, a great – fielding play by a relief pitcher is made and, you know, you guys go on to lose the game.
I think you sent me
what happened
something.
To my light.
I think you sent me something saying that like the Dodgers record since, oh my God, I don't know when it was, but over like the past like 2 months, the Dodgers have like the worst record in baseball.
Yeah, it's brutal.
You know? And like they would have like a, you know, like a 95, they're on like a 95 loss pace over the past like 2 months, you know, they've just,
which is a crazy amount of time. And it's like, look, I know we've dealt with these Muncy injuries, Kike, Ha-Seong Kim, you know, getting guys back, but it's like, all right, man, we're about to turn the page into September. And it's when you want to see your team playing their best ball. And it feels like we're seeing the Padres kind of step up and play some of their best ball, and we're still floundering. I don't know what else there is to say about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if they are able to turn the page and come into this Red Series and a lot of these hard hit balls start landing in the gap, start going beyond the fence, we start seeing Teoscar kind of take a little bit, you know, more fruitful at bats in key situations. We see Shohei, you know, get some of these balls in the gap, these balls that he seems like he's getting on top of. Maybe they start going out a little bit more. And I know it's tough to complain about a guy with 45 home runs.
He hit his 45th today. Yeah.
Right.
Well, to your point, though, about like Teoscar, like the fact that my light's being weird too, like my light's all over the place.
Dude, the ghost stuff.
They
goes like, to Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah. Like the fact that the Padres are playing their, I didn't even hear you say that. And I just, I can't get over you called them Bobby Kennedy. the Padres are playing their best baseball of the season. And they clearly were a better team this series, especially for the first two games, obviously. Right. But like the Dodgers still had a great chance to win this series, even in game two where they lost 5-1. I mean, they outscored the Padres 10-9 in this series, losing the series. But to begin the game, to your point about Teoscar, I mean, we could be talking, having a very different conversation about Teoscar after today, if not for just a little bit of bad luck. I mean, in the first inning, comes up with the bases loaded, nobody out, hits a fucking nuke to center field that is probably a home run at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
It's robbed, a grand slam home run getting robbed by Ramon Laureano, leading to a sacrifice fly. The next two Dodgers strike out, it totally just, it changes the outlook of the game, where you're like, oh my
totally.
God, this is happening again. Like, this could be 4-0 off the bat.
Totally.
We have one run. The next at bat, Teoscar comes up, or in his third at bat, Freddie ties the game with a solo home run, right? Teoscar hits a nuke to left field. Down the line, it's foul by like 4 or 5 feet. And then strikes out on the next pitch. It was like, it's just, we're hitting a little bit out of sync. So, Teoscar could have had 2 home runs today. Instead, he went like 0-for-4 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He did. I don't know if he got a hit. I'm sorry if he did, but
it feels like Mookie.
Just really quick.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It just feels like they're just a little out of sync. That Dalton rushing home run did feel a little bit like just, hey guys, like we're going to be okay, because the whole offense seemed to really click after he got that hit. It was like somebody else besides the top 4 or 5 needed to step up. And that's why that was such a big moment.
Well said, man. I just want to piggyback that. I think, you know, it clicking, I think it's starting to click for Mookie right now. We're starting to see it tick back up. Yeah. And I think Teo is another guy that we're going to see in the next couple of weeks here really start getting it to click. And, God, I can't come soon enough, really. But, you know, Andy Páez had some good ABs. But one thing that I was really happy about was that we kept that damn Ramon Laureano hitless today. My God, he's turning into a Dodger killer right in real time, man. He's making great defensive plays, and he's just, it seems like the Dodgers haven't really figured him out. You know, I don't think we've seen him too much over the last few years, so maybe this pitching staff isn't used to planning for him, but dude, he's been killing us.
He's a guy that's worth like 2 wins for the Padres just based on his defense alone. He's such a great defensive player, and we saw what he could do today, robbing Teo of the home run. And so, yeah, you're right. Like, if you can keep him off the board offensively, like, you're limiting half his game, because the other half of his game, my light, I don't know why, my light keeps changing. I'm going darker, whiter. I don't know what's happening.
Dude, but, ghost in the machine.
Yeah. Laureano, like, holding him, you know, hitless is huge because his defense is so good. But, you know, the Dodgers had a chance to trade for him, which was the guy that I kind of wanted. If we weren't going to get Stephen Kwan from the Guardians, it was, let's go out and get Ramon Laureano, because we need somebody to replace Michael Conforto. I think that you and I were on this. It was like, this, it's insanity at this point. I don't care if you pay the guy $17 million. This is, it's clear at this point that, you know, that little hot streak that he had probably swayed the Dodgers' decision on ponying up an extra prospect to go out and get a left fielder to replace him. They instead, what they did, or a higher premium left fielder. Instead, what they did was, is they traded on the margins. They went a little small, and they got Alex Call, right? So you go out and you get Alex Call, but you're still playing Michael Conforto. And I don't understand it. I think that it's just time to bench him and move on, take the L on this signing. It seems to me like there is a malfunction happening in the Dodgers front office of guys that are clearly smarter than you and I, but they're also desperate to prove that they're smarter than you and I. And they're like, they're being stubborn a little bit about this signing, where they're unwilling to take the L on this one and just play Alex Call, you know, just like it. And I understand that there is a quote that Dave Roberts put out basically saying, like, hey, part of that right now is that, you know, Kike is injured, Edmund is injured, Haesung Kim is injured. So, you know, Conforto is the next guy up, that he's going to get some playing time until those guys come back, which implies to me that Conforto will be benched in the coming weeks when those guys come back. But it also doesn't make sense when you have Alex Call just sitting there, you know.
Yeah.
To me, he's like, Just play him. It cannot be any worse than what we've gotten at this point. So
it literally could not be worse. He was
he's the worst player in baseball.
Qualified, you know, but worst batting average of any qualified hitter in the league. You know, I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he's a great clubhouse presence. And, you know, you've given him 3/4 of the season, longer than that, to figure it out. and it's not there. And that's okay. It's okay. But we're in a tight division race where you're, you know, most viable competitor, the team that you just, you know, lost a series to and are tied for first place in the division with, went all in, and they are playing their best ball. And it's one of those things right now that I think if you're trying to play smart, you might be playing against yourself. And I think it might be a little bit of a race. And, you know, to Mookie's quote earlier that we were discussing on his podcast, the blessing might be like, hey, man, you're the champions, and you can either be fat and happy and kind of just stay in third gear, or, you know, let's kick it and just get in the fast lane and let's keep up with this hungry little brother. Let's keep patting him on the head. But I think that if we kind of don't play with a sense of urgency, I think we're going to get passed up. And what that means for the playoffs, I mean, maybe it's a big deal, maybe not. But, you know, you want every advantage in October, and home field, number one seed, doesn't get much bigger than that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. How are you feeling, man, after this is the last time we're going to see the Padres this season, which feels weird.
I mean,
I think there's plenty of silver linings. I don't think you go and ask your even most, you know, just casual of Dodger fans on the street, like, are you worried about a head-to-head matchup with the Dodgers, you know, in the postseason? And I think you go, nah, like, if we're all healthy, we got them. I think I still feel that way after this season.
I think it's a season where this team has never played in sync. It's been all over the place, up and down. Like, one thing has worked while another thing's been broken, and then when that thing gets fixed, the other thing gets broken. One guy goes down, another guy comes up. It's been like that all year, and we're still tied for first place. And we're just starting to get guys back. We just got Snell back. We just got Glasnow back like a month ago. You know, we're getting way more out of Kershaw.
Kirby Yates just came back. Looked good.
Kershaw just came back as well. Trinan's starting to get into his rhythm finally. So, like, the team, all things considered, feels like it's starting to, like, get healthy.
Yeah, there's a big silver lining right on the horizon, and that it's like, look, we're talking a lot and giving, I think, the Padres their just due. They played a really good series,
I thought.
They've been playing the best brand of baseball in the MLB since the trade deadline, full stop. That's inarguable. But what we're getting at, and I think you're right there with me, Jess, is that the Dodgers are on the precipice of potentially playing their best baseball of the season.
I think the Dodgers have an edge on the Padres in terms of how, like, just in terms of that, because they hit well against the Padres bullpen better than any other team in the league. I think that the Padres bullpen is their biggest weapon, and it's really good, dude. Like, you're watching it when they can roll out
dude.
Four or five guys. You're like, you know, the Dodgers the Padres have a lead going into like the sixth inning. You're thinking to yourself, feels a little bit like game over when it was 2-1, right? Like, this is the Dodgers, the way that they're swinging the bat, that they're not coming back from this. But I do think that the Dodgers have an edge on like a unique edge against the Padres because they see them so much, but also just the Padres the bullpen does not pitch all that well against the Dodgers. But I still think that, like, they are the biggest threats to the Dodgers getting back to the World Series, in my opinion. I mean, the Phillies just lost Zach Wheeler for the season. Unfortunately, very sad story. He has a blood clot, so it's
horrifying,
it's really,
dude.
Really unlucky for them, so he's not going to be able to pitch. But that's a huge loss, and that really gives the Dodgers a great opportunity here. Kind of a shitty thing to say, but it's true. Like, that, because that the Phillies might have been the other team that was going to be a big threat besides the Brewers, who have been playing amazing baseball.
But
they've cooled down a little bit since their hot streak, and you wonder, like, how real is that? We don't know yet until we get to October. I think,
but
the Dodgers
numbers gotta still tip that cap to the.
No, of course.
Sorry,
I'm not doing that.
Totally.
I'm just saying.
Like, I know. I'm just giving my own.
The Dodgers, I think, can do it against any team. And, like, you know, the Mookie conversation, now that he's getting going a little bit, he has three multi-hit games in his last six games.
Huge.
He's been hitting the ball a little bit better since that standing ovation Dodger fans did. He has two home runs. Those are his only two extra base hits that he has in the last month, which is not great. But, you know, there was all this debate about whether or not he was going to move back to right field because of Teoscar Hernandez blowing that catch in the Colorado series and that he should be playing in left field. I think that it's okay to not move Mookie. So long as Teo eventually gets moved to left field this season.
Definitely.
Because I'm very concerned. The only thing that really concerns me about this Dodgers team, realistically, is defensive alignment and guys being in positions that they're not natural at, because we saw what that did to the Yankees in the World Series last year, and I would hate it. I would hate it.
Great comp.
To haunt the Dodgers this season, where guys are just not playing their natural positions, and then errors end up costing them a playoff game. And
totally, man. And Jesse, and I think that goes back.
Constructed, so.
And I think that goes back to your point about a front office trying to play smart as opposed to trying to play to win. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we don't got to prove why anybody's got an office or not. You know, like let's just all get a ring. You know, let's go back to back for the first time since the Yankees. You know, in 2000, 2001, 99, you know, that little era. But it's crazy, man. It feels frustrating, right, watching the losses. But when you see the wins, you even kind of go like, all right, this isn't even as good as it can be yet. Like, you see some of the names coming up, and you're like, this is the depth of the depth, you know, like...
You see them win a game 8-2 against their biggest rival when their backs were against the wall in a game where they had a grand slam robbed, where they hit multiple balls, they lined into outs. Teo would have had a two home run game like in any other stadium. You know, you think, and they still won 8-2, and you realize, oh, that's the team that they can be. Maybe they just needed this long stretch to sort of figure out. That's what I'm hoping. I'm banking on it because, you know, I don't want them to be the team that only plays well when their backs are against the wall.
Yeah.
They're going to need to beat some bad teams over the next month to win the division. And luckily for us, they do have a pretty soft schedule to end the year. You know,
well, shit, that might be the kiss of death, man. Let me stop you right there. We just split a series with the ass-fuck Rockies, excuse my language.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a win this year against the Angels. That's disgusting. Yeah. If we don't win the division this year,
that's the reason
it affects our playoffs, it's because of the Angels. And I will just openly say, dude, the Angels own L.A.
If this comes
back to haunt us, which it very much can, I mean, it's just, it's not eating your vegetables, right? It's not taking care of what's in front of you. It's the games you have to win. And look, maybe Chris Taylor was passing notes, and like, I don't know, dude. Like, maybe it was a part of the trade. I don't know. Like, look, we're going to move you over there, but we're not going to beat you or Kenley. We love you, but get out of here. You're not welcome.
Yeah, no, but I agree. I agree. And, you know, it's frustrating that would be what happens to the Dodgers, because in past seasons, you know, they just destroyed bad teams. For them to be, let that be their undoing, that's the thing that you and I said all year long, was like, this team can really only beat itself. I mean, they took care of business against the Padres, dude. Like, they went 9-4. They took care of business against them, regardless of how well the Padres played in this series, and they deserve their credit for clawing their way back to the division. But let's be fucking real.
Be real.
This would have not happened had the Dodgers just played decent baseball against bad teams, you know? And it's like, that's so frustrating to say. That just says to me that the Dodgers kind of did this to themselves this year, and that they're in this position. But at the very least, they have the tiebreaker. And if they play well over the next month, I believe they can still win the division. But, you know, it's going to be tough, because the Padres look really good, man. And, you know, it is going to be a challenge more so than other seasons.
Jesse, I want to ask you something. There's been a lot of talk about like the World Series hangover and a malaise that has kind of just affected the team. Maybe malaise is the wrong word, and maybe just some sort of, I don't know, whatever you want to call their inconsistency. I heard Ken Rosenthal kind of talking about it, that something just seems missing with this Dodgers team this year. Do you feel like it is a little bit of a championship hangover, or, and this is kind of what I'm leaning towards, is it just more of that wear and tear of another long postseason on this Dodger team that is just, you know, riddled it with injuries and kind of rendered some of the big names ineffective?
I don't think you can call it a World Series hangover when they had a 9-game lead a month and a half ago. Like, because this doesn't happen. This wasn't something that happened early in the year. This is something that happened later in the year. I think it's more so wear and tear on guys that are in their early to mid 30s. And, you know, a team that dealt with some injuries this year. Mookie Betts having a career worst season is just kind of finally starting to come out of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's your most important player besides Shohei Ohtani. You know, Glasnow wasn't there. Snell wasn't there for a big chunk of the season. There are a lot of reasons why. Dodgers bullpen being a big reason as to why. But look, Kopech is on the way. Probably won't get Gratterall this year, but the bullpen is starting to figure itself out. The pitching looked really good, in my opinion. I think the starting pitching looks awesome. But you know, they have there is an even matchup for them in this postseason. Mm-hmm. No question about it. It's gonna be tough, but I don't think it's a hangover. I think it's wear and tear more than anything, and just not taking bad teams seriously. You know, that's probably it. But you know,
well, that's what I was gonna say. Do you think that the poor performance against, you know, shittier teams, you think that is a bit of the hangover?
Maybe. I mean, I don't really know what hangover means when people talk about it, because, like I said, they were playing.
I think it means a like lack of urgency, and maybe that compounds over a season, and you know, maybe you're not doing the work. Or maybe...
I will say this: there's almost like an entitlement to the postseason from the Dodgers, and I don't mean that like that they're brats or something, but like even the front office kind of, by not making like a huge trade at the deadline, kind of just like, oh no, this team can do it kind of attitude, not having any urgency. It does kind of give off this attitude of like, does this team feel entitled to their postseason spot because they've been there every year? They just win the World Series. Could that be an element of it? If you want to say that that's a World Series hangover, sure. But it might just be more so like, just poorly timed effort, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough to say. Like we've said, this team has just kind of been on one foot all year. So
yeah,
hopefully in October we get to see the full depth of, you know, like a Ha-Seong Kim and a Tommy Edman, you know, Kopech, Tanner Scott, everybody who's still alive, basically, right? You know, and hey, maybe a good friend, Alex Freeland, Alex Call, maybe they're playing some meaningful innings. But that definitely means that our old friend, Michael Conforto, is not in left field. Jess, I have two questions for you. I know we're getting,
we'll wrap. We'll wrap after this.
We're getting close on time, but, I got two questions for you. Just going to keep them brief. And the first one is, can the Dodgers win a World Series with Teoscar Hernandez in right field?
No. I mean, look, sure, yes, of course they can. Will they, I think, is a different question. I think you significantly lessen the odds by doing that to your defense. With all due with love and respect and peace and love to Teoscar Hernandez, who is a left fielder. And should be in left field. We saw last year how important he was to the team, you know, when he was not the right fielder. So I think he needs to go to left field, and I think it's just, you know, it's Michael Conforto's time to go. Like, if you want to use him as a lefty off the bench, that's fine.
Definitely. Love that answer. I kind of feel like I disagree, but we'll save that for another time. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I feel like I disagree. I feel like if Teo's in right field, they have no shot of winning a World Series. And Conforto must go. I think it is that desperate at this point. But we'll save that for later. And Jesse, my last question before we get out of here. as we spoke about already, Mookie Betts having the worst season of his career is seeming to start to pull himself out of this this deep offensive hole we've seen him in all year. Is this just an outlier, or are we officially in the end of Mookie Betts' prime?
I think we're in the end of Mookie Betts being a guy that hits like 30 to 40 home runs. I think that that Mookie Betts is gone, unfortunately. But I don't think that like him hitting like 20 to 25 home runs with like 35 doubles is out of the question. But the fact that he has no doubles over the last month is concerning. I do believe that there is a factor of him playing shortstop, an incredibly demanding position, has affected him offensively this year,
taking
him out, which, you know, it seems like an excuse. But, you know, look at Teoscar Hernandez. His numbers are a little bit down. He's playing a little bit more of a demanding position in right field. So Shohei Ohtani's numbers have kind of taken a dip since he started pitching a little bit more. Like, this happens to guys who have to take on other responsibilities. So I would say that he's not at the end of his prime of being like a star player. He's probably at the end of his prime of being like super elite 30 to 40 homers, 290 to 320 batting average, 950 to 1,000 OPS. I think that those days we might be seeing the end of them. He might have stretches where he's that guy, but not over full season. I don't think so anymore.
Washed or not, Mookie Betts. Is he washed?
No, he's not washed. He's not washed.
Well, there you have it. Jesse, yeah. I love it. I feel informed. It's been very great. I needed this, dude. I was bummed we didn't get to watch any games in person together this weekend. Maybe
Mookie's
next season.
Defense, by the way, this was fucking insane this week. He made so many good plays at shortstop. His defense was awesome. So, you know, like, let's give him some respect.
Yeah, let's not understate what he's doing, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
To put into context, Jesse, Fernando Tatis Jr. moved from a significantly higher defensive, like, position at shortstop to right field. To his credit, he won a platinum glove, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he makes all the plays he's supposed to, but he hasn't hit a home run in how long?
Well, he has the same amount of home runs over the last, like, month and a half as Mookie Betts does. So, you know, food for thought. Dodgers salvage the series. It is tied going into tomorrow's game against the Cincinnati Reds. So hopefully the Dodgers take care of business against the bad teams. And
hey, there's no hoping, Jesse. This is what's going to happen.
Love it.
Dodgers are seeing through the keyhole, right? They're getting to the promised land, right?
Are they going to Cincinnati, or is it at home?
I haven't looked. I got to double check. I believe they're at home, but I'm not.
Because that means that our good friend Gavin Lux will get a little applause.
Does he get a ring? Has he got
home game. Well, I think he got it in Cincinnati, but I think,
I was going to say, I thought he got it already, right?
Yeah, but he'll get some love from the home crowd. So Gavin Lux making his return.
He deserves it. I love Gavin Lux, dude.
All right.
Oh, man.
This was a fun one. Brandon Bollinger, thank you, buddy. We'll maybe meet up this week or over the weekend. I know you're going out of town. You're doing a little camping, so we might have to push it a little early this week.
If you're in the Sequoias, say what's up, dude. Let's talk a little ball. But Jesse, it's always a pleasure, brother. I know you're going out after that, but we'll see each other soon. But you know, it's always a pleasure to talk ball with you. I needed this. I've been a little stressful, messful. And finally, we got a dub, dude. It was good to see the offense break out. And I know that it's going to continue against these Cincinnati Reds. The Dodgers see through the keyhole. We're looking through into the promised land. That door is going to open anytime. And I promise you, dude, we're going to see some big returns. And September is going to be a month for big wins in Dodgerland.
Love that. And let's end it with this. If you guys see a Padre fan who wants to, you know, brag or, you know, talk some shit about winning the series, about being tied for first place, just do what Shohei Ohtani did. Go up to them like he did to that heckling fan earlier today. Give him a handshake, pat him on the back, and say, "It's okay, little brother. It's okay, buddy. Everything's going to be okay." Brandon, I love you, brother, and we'll do this again soon.
Jesse, I love you. It's a pleasure, and we're your
like
blue collar boys.
Yeah, like
you know, that's what we need. That's what we need. Let us know what you're thinking. We love you. Defer Kaluge.
Peace.
Out.